Good morning, Saints. All right, let me get my notes open here and ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Corinthians. We're going to be beginning a new book, the book of 1 Corinthians. So we're going to start on that journey looking there. So I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 today. Give you a moment to open your books there. And as you are doing that and getting your bulletins out, let me encourage you again that Brian shared this with you, this little three-ring binder we have. Margaret did a lot of work to get us some note paper in here, and we promise in the future we'll have the message that will be in the your bulletin will be punched with the holes in that. Today we have the hole puncher back there, but it's just to encourage all of us, to help us in any way to take notes. If there's a way that we can help each other in doing this, like he said, we're not saying, oh, if you don't do this, you're in trouble or anything like that. But it's important for us to just... we're studying God's Word, studying the Bible and the Scriptures to us, help us to keep our notes, to take good notes as we go along. You know, we know that some of us have pretty good memories. We'll remember a lot of things. We'll listen to the message on Sunday and hear some things. We might write a few things down. But, you know, I have found just in my own life, and I'm sure in yours, that if you write something down, it's like in seminary. What they taught me as I was going through the bringing a message together, they said, write it out. Because when you write it out, it goes through your mind on what you're trying to say and what you're doing. So just write it out. So, you know, taking notes, just let me encourage you, is a good thing to do. And we want to minister and help in any way that we can. So, you know, as we would look at 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of background in this that we could cover today, a lot of historical information. But, you know, I've chosen to cover that as we go, not to kind of go through, okay, let's look at all the context we could or all the historical background in today. We're going to kind of cover that as we go along. I just want to share that with you. We're going to bring it up as it's important. A couple of notes I want to just kind of begin with, though. Paul, in the second missionary journey, second time he's out in missionary work, he founded the church of Corinth, which we call 1 Corinthians. He founded this church. It was in 50 A.D. I want you to think about that for a moment. That's a long, long time ago, wasn't it, 50 A.D.? You know, that's not long after Christ died. That's, you know, Paul wasn't saved right away, all the things that we would see in the book of Acts, that kind of thing. It's so early. Well, let me get to a couple of things. Paul spent 18 months there at Corinth, and then in the spring of 52, he left to continue his missionary work. And in the fall of 54, he wrote 1 Corinthians. And then the spring of 55, he wrote 2 Corinthians. It's so early in the time of the early church. Only Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and James are written. I want you to think about that with me for a moment. Gospels aren't written. Acts not written. All these things aren't. So the church is beginning. They don't have a whole lot. I mean, they have the apostles. They have the God is at work and all of that. But the Word of God certainly isn't complete yet. So that's where we're kind of stepping into in that kind of time of life. And when he wrote this in 54 and then in the spring of 55, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, there's a lot of communication going on between the Corinthian church and Paul. We would know or believe that Paul wrote at least four letters. He probably wrote more than that. There's two that are in the Word of God here that are the authoritative Word of God. There's a couple other that are referred to. But Paul was communicating with the body of Christ, with the church in many ways. They were communicating back with him or communicating. So we know this communication is going back and forth. The basic point of 1 Corinthians, let me give you the basic point, is to address Christian conduct. That's what the basic point is, to address Christian living. And it's corrective. It's corrective. Paul is addressing things that are in the life in a corrective way. And, you know, like any church, any family of God, take us for example, okay? The people of God have issues. We get a big amen there? Sure we do. We have things that are in our life. The people of God do. The God is working on them. We talked about that today. What a great study it was in James today. The look at consider all joy when you have trials in your life because God's at work in your life. Guess what? God's always at work in our life. Wherever we're at, wherever we're doing, whatever we got going on, God's at work in our life. And we have things in our life that God's at work at in our life. I would say we have issues. None of us in the room is perfect. None of us in the room has arrived. Some, many of us have grown, matured in our Christianity and still do so. Some not as much. But what I want you to capture today and remember is we're heading in a direction. I'm going to say it's that way, okay? So as I refer to that today and you say we're headed in a direction, you understand what I'm talking about today. But I want you to kind of think of that. God is at work in our life. We're headed in a direction. One of God's main purposes for the church, a big one, for the family of God, is for us to help each other grow in our relationship with the Lord. You guys all agree with that, right? It's all over Scripture. It's all over the Word of God. We're to help each other grow in our relationship with Christ, mature in the Lord. The simple way we say that when you say this is we're to grow the saints, win the lost as you worship God. That would be the purpose of the church. God's reason why the church is here. In our lives, we're to grow the saints, win the lost as we worship God all to the glory of God. And that would be God's purpose for why we're here. Now think of that with me for a moment. I want you to just kind of put this in your mind and heart as we're going to get into this book. We're going to get into a lot of things that are in here, incredible things written in here for us to learn and grow in. But the beginning, we have to think about why we're here and what God is doing, the purpose of the church. Simple way to say it is grow the saints, win the lost as we worship God for his glory. The Bible's clear enough. Ephesians 4:11-13 says we're to be growing, building up the body of Christ, salvation to sanctification. I've taught on that before in Ephesians, but what I want you to look at and captures, we're headed somewhere. God is directing, guiding, leading our life, heading us somewhere in a direction. That's who we are. That's the body of Christ. That's what we're to be doing. Paul writes to this church, the church at Corinth, exhorting them to deal with their lives. Why? Why? Why do you write the letter? Put this in your heart and mind, because for the most part, they're not headed that way. For the most part, they're not embracing and heading in the way that God wants them to head. The church family. God is directing our lives in a direction. We're to be growing the saints, maturing the saints, winning the lost, worshiping God. We can put it in some general terms like that. That's God's desire, God's design. So Paul's going to address that as we go through the letter. In some areas in their life where they're not headed the direction where God's wanting to head. Let me ask you, does God need to address yours? Help me here. Sure. Aren't you so glad he does? Amen. That God guides and leads us, loves us. It's not about how bad we are. It's about what God has for us. We all stumble. We all have the things that are in our life. Not putting in a light that says, oh, it doesn't matter. It does. This is all for the glory of God. God is at work in our life. Paul's writing to the church where they're really not embracing that. He'll address that later, but as he begins here, he addresses something else in the first 9 verses. Something real important. He tells them who they are in Christ in the first 9 verses. I mean, if you look, how many chapters in 1 Corinthians? Anybody know? 16, right? From chapter 1, verse 10, to all the way to where we get greet the people back in the bottom of the first chapter 16. You know what he does? He addresses their life correctively in the way they're living. That's a lot of Word of God we got to go through in addressing in our life. But you know what's important? As we know God's addressing our life, to remember who we are in Christ, to what God has done in our life. He's not thumping us with the Bible. He's not upset with us in that. God is loving us and leading us in our life. You know why the Corinthians, for the most part, weren't doing that? They're stuck on living for self. The second biggest theme in the book of 1 Corinthians, the second biggest one, is pride. Theirs. Arrogance. That's the second biggest thing. God's word, God's authoritative word that's going to speak to our lives that we're going to look through here. The second biggest theme we're going to talk about is pride. The first biggest theme in it is our call to live holy lives. That's what the book's about. One writer put it this way. He wrote this about the 1 Corinthians. He said, like many Christians today, the Corinthian believers had a difficult time in not mimicking the society around them. They managed to stay a little higher morally than the world, but were moving in the same direction as the world downhill. They wanted to live in the kingdom of God, to be in the kingdom of God, while keeping one foot in the world's kingdom. He went on to say that they wanted the blessings of the new life in Christ, but also wanted to hang on to the pleasures of the old. That's not the direction that God is leading in our life. To figure out how we can keep one foot in and one foot out. You guys know the song, right? One foot in, one foot out. Our life isn't the hokey pokey. It isn't. We're not trying to figure out in the Word of God how we can keep ourselves in this 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom of God. I'm going to affirm you in my heart as I went through this. So I do that. How can I figure out what God has said or what God is saying, or that I can keep 1 foot in and 1 foot out? That's not God's direction for his church, for the body of Christ. That's not what his word talks about. That's not what the Bible preaches on. That's not what any of it is about. It's not about figuring out how you can do that. It's about heading that way. And that's what Paul is talking to him about. And so important for us to remember what God has already done in our life in Christ. That Paul, in these first 9 verses, talks about their identity, who you are or what you are and what you have in Christ. One writer put it this way: if you don't understand who you are, what God has done in your salvation, what God has done, what you have in your salvation, you can't really understand the New Testament. I think that's pretty strong, isn't it? But I would agree with it. I know in my own life, as I grow in the Lord, as I walk with the Lord, as God works in my life, the more I understand God's word. Isn't that true? So when you came to salvation, when you came, God rescued you, delivered you, you understood you were saved, you were forgiven, and those things, you start understanding some of God's word on how it affirms that you are, and how it was a work of God that you are. And then as you walk with God and you learn and you grow in your relationship with God, you look in the New Testament and you see like the tough verse that we looked at today, to consider it all joy when you face various trials. Because God is at work in you to produce endurance, which have its perfect work, its maturing work, and bring you to, as Peter would say, the adulthood of your salvation. God is working that in our life. And as you grow in understanding who you are in Christ, that God is doing that, you begin to grasp hold even more of what God's word says. So let's look at today what Paul wants us to look at today. This is what he's going to talk to us about. So he starts with this: who you are in Christ, what you have, what you are, who you are in Christ. By the way, let me just say this, your outline there, the points in your outline, these will carry through the rest of the letter. The things that he says here, that God's word says, are foundational to the rest of what God says in 1 Corinthians. I'll bring them up as we go through, but let's begin. Let's look at verses 1 through 9 with me. Paul writes this. Maybe I should turn my Bible there. There it is. Paul writes this. Paul, called an apostle, or as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Suthanus, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all whom in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you just listen to that, you see that Jesus Christ our Lord is said in there 9 times. I want you to remember, this is who we are in Christ. That's what he's talking about, who we are in Christ, what you have and what you are in Christ. And the first observation we would make here, Paul identifies himself. Now, you know, that's why I put that in there, apostleship in your outline. Now, I know we're talking about who we are, but first Paul identifies who he is. Now, he's all the other things that we're going to cover, but he's also an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says that Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, none of us are, but he is. By a divine call, God appointed him to be an apostle. Now, why bring this up, apostleship? Simply for authority. God's messenger with God's message. That's what an apostle is. And let me tell you, at the beginning of the church, in this church age and what's going on here, everyone in this area is attacking Paul's authority. That is through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It's always there. Paul is always defending his authority that I'm an apostle of God. There are people saying, oh, well, we're better apostles. Don't listen to Paul. They're saying that it's only Paul's opinion. Don't listen to Paul's opinion. You know, God doesn't really like him. He's got some bad things going on in his life, some hard things in his life, so God's not really for him. That's continually going on, an attack upon the authority of Paul. You know that goes on today? You guys know what goes on today? How so? What did Paul write? I need you guys to help me here. What is the book of 1 Corinthians? What is it? What did he write? Somebody help me. It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's the authoritative Word of God. God's messenger, the Apostle Paul, writing God's authoritative Word to 1 Corinthians. That's the tack today. It's God speaking. It's no one's opinion. It's God's Word. And what is God's Word to the body of Christ, to the church? What is it to us, you guys? Who can quote for me Psalm 109, 105? Who could quote that to me? Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Don't let anything attack in your heart and mind. This is who you are. That God's authoritative word, his revelation, what we're going to study, is a light unto your path, a light unto your feet. Which way is that? But a light unto our path and a light unto our feet. That's who we are. Now, I'm bringing that up for us to understand what Paul is saying here when he identifies him as apostle. What he's writing to them is what God says, not what Paul's opinion is. So what we're going to study is God's authoritative word. As Peter said, we're to long for it like a baby longs for milk so we can grow in respect to our salvation. That's who we are. We can understand it, apply it, live it, know it, learn it, speak it. It's the wisdom of God. It's God's authoritative word. And God desires us to live by it. You know what self-focus does? You know what self-focused people do? You know what I do when I'm self-focused? I don't trust God's word. I doubt what God has to say. So here we are looking at God's authoritative word. That's Paul is saying, I write to you, but this is God's authoritative word to you on who you are in Christ. Now let's look at who we are. We'll look at this briefly. Look what he says, verse 2 and 3. Look what he says here. He says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all whom in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says first. You're the church of God. Now listen to me here. They heard something totally different than we hear when we hear church. He says, to the church of God. It's not our church. It's not Living Word Fellowship. We got to put us in this, okay? You are the church of God. You are the church of God. This building isn't the church of God. The place that we gather together is not the church of God. You're the church of God. Brian, I appreciate you when you told about, you know, when we come and we come to church. This is okay. We talk to it. We come here. But you know what this is, Brian? This is where the church gathers. And we gather together to worship God corporately together. And each and every day we're to be living our lives to worship God. And what's the purpose of the church? In a simple form, to mature the saints, to win the lost as we worship God. And so what he's writing, this word ekklesia in the Greek says, it means this, the called out ones who gather in Corinth is what he's talking about. So this is the way they would heard it. Paul writes to the called out ones of God who gather in Corinth. That's us. He's writing to the ones that called out from sin, called out from the world, called out from living for self, called out for live for God, God's own possession. Collectively, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15, says that we are the called out ones of the living God who are the pillar and support of God's truth. You know what we uphold? The authoritative word of God. That's who we are. Is this connecting with you? Help me with this. Look at me and smile or grunt. This is who we are in Christ. We are the church of God. We aren't individual that sits in the people that we're saved, we're believers in Christ. But what God calls us, that who we are in Christ, is we are the called out ones that gather together to worship him. He goes on to say that you have been past action sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now think of this with me. I'm going to keep it simple. It means that you've been separated from sin, from sin's penalty, sin's power, one day from his presence. And you stand before God right now. Right now you stand before God, holy, in the eyes of God. You stand positionally, holy in front of God, forgiven of sin. That's your position in Christ, no matter what your practice is today. If you are saved, If you've come to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been sanctified. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You stand before the Lord holy. Now, we know our practice isn't that. God's working on our practice. But listen to who you are, what you have in Christ. You're the church of God. You're sanctified. And he goes on to say, you're saints by calling. We've talked about saints quite a bit. But this is who you are. It's not by what you did. It's by the calling, divine call of God. He made you a saint. Saint means set apart unto God to serve him as a holy vessel consecrated to God. Now, stay with me on this. That's who you are if you're a believer in Christ. See why Paul is addressing this at the beginning of the letter? Because he's going to get real corrective in their life and talk to them about how they're living their life. It's not reflecting who what God has done in their life. That's important for us to take note of and to learn in our own heart and mind. Peter said it very simply, be like the Holy One who called you. Become holy in all of your behavior. So I want you to hear on how the Corinthians would have heard this and the way God wants us to hear this and what I just shared with you. Here God writes his authoritative word to you and me, okay? And identifying who he writes to, this is you. You are the called ones that gather as the family of God, set apart from sin, stand positionally holy before the Lord, and by the calling of God, you have been set apart to serve him. That's who he's writing to. Verse 2 says, with all who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been set apart from sin, separated unto holy service of God, stand positionally before God in the righteousness of Christ. You're God's called out ones with all that have called upon the name of the Lord. Think about that. With Paul, with Timothy, with Peter, with Spurgeon, with Martin Luther, with all the Christians that you know that's went before us. Look around the room, you guys. Look around the room with all that call upon the name of the Lord right now. Boy, that's impactful, isn't it? Does that exhort your heart and mind? That you've been set apart positionally, holy and righteous before God, set apart unto holy service unto God, the church of God, God's called out ones in this world to live a certain way with all that have gone before you and all that sit with you right now. Wow, what an exhortation, right? Boy, that just gets it right off that it's kind of this individual thing, doesn't it? What an exhortation that Paul is calling upon them and exhorting them to recognize what God is doing and what God has done in your life. You are linked spiritually, I wanted to say this, you are linked spiritually to all who have ever called upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that impactful? Look at verse 4 with me. Look at what Paul says next. I thank my God, always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Here it is, you guys. It's all a grace. No one earned it. No one bought it. No one worked for it. Didn't live right. Didn't live good enough. It's all a grace. It's been given to you in Christ Jesus. Given to you. What you are and what you have has been given to you as a grace. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he saved you. And God did it. And he gave it to you, and this is who you are in Christ. And look what he says next. That in everything you are enriched in him. In all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. So that you would not be lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also confirm you all the way to the end. Blameless, before the Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow, that's what you have. You've been enriched in everything in him, in Jesus Christ. Not what you have, what we have. I want to include me in that one. Make a list one day what you've been enriched in. I started working on this. I'm about 6 hours in. I haven't got to anywhere near the end. Make a list what you're enriched in Christ Jesus. He says in everything, this is what he's meaning, what he's talking about here. This is very important. Listen to this. You're enriched in everything in Christ Jesus. What he means here is you have, listen to this. Might want to write this down. You have everything that Jesus has to give and he gives you everything you need. You have everything that Jesus has to give, and he gives you everything you need, although not everything that you'd want. You guys know 2 Peter. Turn over there to 2 Peter 1. Turn over there with me to 2 Peter real quick. Turn your Bibles over there. This is where Peter says something very similar to what we just read. This is what we have in Christ, who you are, what you have. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen to what Peter says here when he's talking about this. He says, we are seeing that, verse 3, that his divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Let me read that again. Seeing that, are we seeing that? That God's divine power, his, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by its lust. What an incredible thing he just said there. Let that sink in for a minute. Listen, you guys, this is God's authoritative word. Any of you ever think, and in your mind and heart think, I don't have enough? Help me here. I have. So I'm lacking something here. This is what you have in Christ. It's what he's talking about. He focuses on a few points in here, just moving along here, but we lack nothing. Here's the few important points he focuses on. You have been, he says this, enriched in all speech and all knowledge in verse 7, and you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. This is what he's saying. You have the speech necessary and the knowledge necessary and the spiritual gift necessary to accomplish all God desires for you to do in Christ Jesus. You have them all. He provides it. Now, for me, that's just overwhelming. So if we looked at the purpose of the church and why we're here and why God left the body of Christ here, he didn't just save us and then take us home. He has a reason for the church age. That's God's thoughts. That's God's desires. He made that up. He's the one that has the purpose for leaving us here and gathering us together and us living a certain way. That's all of God's reasoning and God's plan, and his purpose in it is for us to encourage each other to grow and mature in our walk with the Lord, for us to be a light of Christ, to win the lost as we worship God and learn about our God and give all the glory to him. And he says, and I've enabled you to do that. That's what he just said in the text. You've been enriched in all of that. I'll get to why we don't do it. Let me ask you, do you have the words? You guys got to help me here. You got to interact with me right now, okay? Do you have the words to share the gospel? Sure you do, right? Then share it. It's the purpose of why we're here. Let me ask you, do you have the knowledge and understanding to encourage and build up someone in your life? Sure you do, right? Boy, you guys are excited about that today, aren't you? If I promised you that what he promised is to give you all the riches of the world in here, do you guys have the... Do you have the spiritual gifts to serve God in his church? Sure you do. Yeah, we mature in all of this. We grow in all this. That's where we're headed. We grow in this. We mature in this. And he will enable us to do so. That's our walk with the Lord. That's the life of the body of Christ. That's God's life that he has given us here on this earth. As we walk with him, he works. Sunday school was so good today. As we just walk in the things that God walks, ask for wisdom, okay? So we understand an application of the things of who God is and who we are. No, we don't know everything. He didn't give us all knowledge concerning everything in the world. He said, I give you all knowledge for you to be able to do what I'm asking you to do. The first and foremost knowledge you got was my life is dependent upon God. You know that. As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, you know that. Came right to you in your salvation when you said, I'm a sinner and I need salvation and I need to be rescued and delivered from my sin and I surrender my life to Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you gave your life to Christ, when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God in his work, in his new creation, gave you inside of you a new life that understands that you're dependent upon God. Now, we are battling against that, but it's what God did in our life. So you might ask, the question's being asked in your mind, so Pastor Ken, why do we struggle so? I'm going to give you a real simple answer, okay? Self-focus. That's what he addresses in Corinthians. God's authoritative word is going to talk to us about how we think of ourselves, on how we're thinking upon our own self. We're all on the path of God working in our lives, heading in that direction. We're to be embracing that direction. When you don't embrace that direction, God is at work in your life to get you to embrace that direction. When you embrace that direction, we grow and change in a hurry of the last couple two. Like I said, this is just an introduction to where we're going here, and Paul says, let me tell you who you are in Christ. It's so important for you to have this in your heart and mind, who you are, as we would go through when God addresses our life, when he wants to guide and lead us in our life, for us to remember what God has done in our life so we don't get off to where we're trying to work toward God doing that in our life that he's already done. That we embrace what he's already done and go in the way that God wants us to go. And that's why he wrote this to them this way. Last two, verse 6 and 8 says this, the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you until the end. That's the next point in our outline. What God began, he will finish. Listen, if God saved you, if you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, his testimony of changing, transforming your life will be authenticated. It's going to be confirmed in you. God's going to work in your life. You know, some of the most miserable people I know are believers in Christ that aren't following the Lord. There are some of the most people having the most hardest time because you know what? God is trying to work in their life. And God's not going to let them go. Because the testimony of God's transforming way will be authenticated in your life. This is what he's talking about. God, the God who called you is the one that justifies you, is the one that will glorify you. Eternal glory awaits all whom believe. In the text, he says, we eagerly await it. And God confirmed Christ in you will get you there. Last point, look at verse 9 with me. He writes this, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, that's a big topic, what he's talking about there. On who we are in Christ and what we have. Listen, what you have and what you are is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is in partnership. That word means partnership. It means common life, common purpose, common goal, common ending. Your life is in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are. Look at me for a moment. Your life is in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are in this life that you're living. Common life, common goal, common purpose. God has placed your life in union with his, in partnership. That's what he's talking about. In fellowship, in partnership. Christ walks where you walk. Christ goes where you go. He's going to talk to them about this later and have them try to come to realization that all that they're doing, that the Lord is with them in all that we do. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, dwells in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, all these are going to get brought out as we go through all of 1 Corinthians. But the important fact here is we want to recognize that's who we are, what God has done in our life. Our life is in partnership with him. And look around the room. All of our lives, that all of us that are believers, each one of us, our lives are in partnership with him. That makes all of our lives in partnership with each other. That's why he says that with all that call upon the name of the Lord, we're all in life and with, that we've been connected all through life. Because those that are in partnership with Christ are in partnership together. And we'll deal with that and get into that more. But that is such an impactful thing, such a big thing to look at and think about. But we'll get into it more later. But I just want you to kind of grab these things in your head. I haven't been going too deep in them. We all share in the divine nature of Christ. That's who we are. And before we close, I want you to do something. Take out your bulletin. I don't think I brought one up here. And you see the things in your outline there. Take out your bulletin. And I want you to do something for me. I've been heading somewhere, and we're heading somewhere together, and I've been doing this and kind of just touching on these. And like I said, I'm going to pull these out as we go through 1 Corinthians. But I want to ask you, church, family of God, body of Christ, my fellow believers in Christ, the body of Christ I belong to, the ones I'm in partnership with, I want to ask you. I want you to ask you in that outline circle who you are and what you have. Are you the church of God? Are you God's church? Circle that if you're God's church. Are you God's church? Church isn't something that you attend. Church isn't something that where you go to. You are one of God's called out ones, and you gather with the body of Christ and live this life together in that body. Church isn't somewhere you attend. Church is me. Church is me. That's what you're saying when you circle that. I am God's called out one. The next thing, are you sanctified in Christ Jesus? Have you already been separate, set apart from sin, totally forgiven, standing positionally before God, holy? Circle that one if that's you. Are you a saint by calling a divine act of God that set you apart unto himself for holy service unto the Lord? Is that you? Circle that one if that's you. Do you call upon the name of the Lord with all other believers that have went before you and that now we call upon our Lord? Is Christ your Lord, and is that who you call upon in this life? And do you do it with all the other believers that went before you and that with you now? Circle that one if that's you. Has the grace of God been given you in Jesus Christ? Have you been blessed, given? As Paul put it in Ephesians, has God smothered you through Christ, lavished upon your life? Remember I used that like country gravy over biscuits. Has he lavished grace upon you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you? Circle that one if that one's you. Are you enriched in everything that Christ has to give you? Are you enriched in everything that Christ has to give you? Do you have, circle that one, do you have eternal security? Has God been confirmed in you? That's what that is talking about. Do you have eternal security? Circle that one, you guys. Are you in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ and with all believers and with each other? Are you in partnership with the Lord Jesus? Circle that one. Now, between you and God, you had to circle who you are in Christ and what you have. Look at the beginning of verse 9. Look what God wrote. God is faithful. In the text, the way this is written is faithful is God. It's in the emphatic position. The word faithful is in the first word in the sentence in this. So as God would use language, what he's talking about, he wants to make an emphatic statement, and this is what he wants to make it to you. Faithful is God. And if you've circled those and those are, that's who you are in Christ and that's all you have in Christ, listen, faithful is God. He will never not be faithful. He will never not be faithful to his own. He will never stop loving you. He will never stop loving you for you to go in the right direction. He will never stop. He will never stop trying to guide and lead and walk with you that way. He will never stop loving you as you walk in that direction. You know, the message today is we're the ones that know in our heart what we've embraced. Each and every one of you know what you embraced in your heart, where you're headed. You're the one that circled, this is me, this is me. You're confirming in your own heart, this is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. This is true. This is what God says. This is the authoritative word of God, and God is going to always be faithful. In your heart, you just recognize what way you're headed. And if we're headed this way, God is going to be faithful. What's he going to do? He's going to work in your life. He's going to try to speak to your heart and mind. Things are going to be in life that he's going to want you to walk with him in the way he's going. God is faithful. The one that did all of this is faithful. He's not going to say, well, I saved you and I sanctified you and I set you apart unto me and I brought you, I called you out. of this life of sin. I've done all of this work. I've enriched you in everything in Christ. I've poured my lavish my grace upon you, and the way you're living, I don't care. It's not God. He doesn't even approach it that way. He says, you're my own possession. I love you, and I want what's best for you, and I want to lead you that way. That's what Paul is trying to do in the Corinthian church. They've got a lot of things out of order. And God wants to love them in the way that God wants them to go. Let's pray.